All right. You have a handout there tonight again, and we are in our next to last message here on the success of the blessed, Psalms 1. We're going to be covering verse number 3 tonight. Psalms 1, verse number 3. Last week we saw that in contrast to the ungodly, the sinners, and the scornful that were mentioned in verse number 1, that the blessed man is genuinely and completely in love with the Word of God. And that's where his success comes from. The Word of God has captured his full affection, has captured his full attention. He finds his delight in the Word of God, and therefore he meditates on the Word of God because he values what the Word of God is as well as what it can do for him in his life. He understands how important it is. Spiritually speaking, we saw that it is food, it's light, it's truth, it's a mirror, it's water, it's a sword, it's fire, it's a hammer. We saw all of those things as we looked at the Word of God. Additionally, the blessed man knows that the Word of God is his final authority, and therefore he consumes it so that it is internalized and becomes a vital part of who he is. It becomes the singular standard for his faith and practice, and it ought to be that way. Nothing else should guide our faith and practice other than the Word of God. Every thought, every move, every decision is made against the backdrop of God's Word and what God has to say about an issue. Now, you know, the Word of God is never better than when it's read, meditated on, studied, and heeded. Amen. You know, absorb it into your life and then put it to practice. It's God's will for it to be integrated into one's life and then lived out in the life. And we see the results of the blessed man's relationship with God and his Word. Verse 3 reminds us what that brings in a life. It reveals to us the prosperity of the successful believer, the prosperity of the successful believer. Let's read the verse number 3. Well, let's go ahead and back and read verse number 1 through verse number 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you take the Word of God tonight, Lord, and teach our hearts. And help us to see that if we want to have a successful life, if we want to be blessed in our life, then we need to pay close attention to the Word of God and allow it to be real in our day-to-day walk. Just bless our time together tonight in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to note that the promises of this verse are conditional. When we live separated lives and feed our souls on God's word, then and only then can we expect the prosperity that this verse talks about. Number one, we see the blessed man's prominence. It says he shall be like a tree. You know, trees stand out, don't they? They just do. And the life of the successful believer stands out above all those around him. It's easily seen when a man draws from the Lord. And a good example of this, if you remember the life of Joseph. In fact, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 39 with me. And even though Joseph didn't have much of the Word of God, you know, it wasn't written back then, but he had the verbal words of the Lord from his mom and dad. And, he did know the Lord, and we see that what he knew, the little that he knew, was all that he needed to know to be successful in his life. Genesis 39, look at verse number 2. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. We also see down in verse number 21, and this is when he got cast into prison falsely. He's there. But even there, it can be seen that God was with him. It says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You see the success and prosperity in Joseph's life as he kept his life close to the Lord. Look at chapter number 41. Chapter 41, verse number 38. And here's before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says here in verse number 38 to his servants, so Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. What a wonderful testimony of the Lord in the life of a young man called Joseph. People will take notice of the man so blessed that he has been with the Lord. Amen. He's been with Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 13 when Peter and John were before the council, and it says there, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When you spend a lot of time in the Word of God, people take notice that you've been with God. They just do. So we see the blessed man's prominence. Second thing we see the blessed man's permanence. He shall be like a tree planted. Now, unlike some plants, which may live for a season and die out, a tree sinks its roots deep and has a hidden source of life. And that's especially true when a tree has been carefully planted on purpose. It talks about he shall be like a tree planted. It's not a tree that just came up. It's a tree that somebody intentionally planted by the rivers of water. It was planted on purpose there, where it could thrive. And that's the idea behind it saying, he shall be like a tree planted. Now, we see the blessed man's position. It says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, I want us to first understand that in Scripture, water for cleansing is symbolic of the Word of God. We saw that last week in our study. While water for drinking is symbolic of the Spirit of God. Again, this is like a tree planted on purpose by the rivers of water so that it all is always close to the life-giving resources. This was meaningful to Israel with her mostly arid conditions, and the tree planted by the rivers of water is never dry and wilted, but is rather green, lush, and lovely. The believer who lives his life close to the Lord by being filled with the Word of God and being filled with the Spirit of God will not be spiritually dry or wilted either. I mean, that's what keeps us vibrant in the Lord, keeps us going. It's when we plant our lives on purpose there close to the Lord. When somebody is planted like that can withstand difficult, dry times that causes others to wilt. He remains vibrant, lively, and we'll see in a minute that he is productive. But many never know the joy of continually drawing life from Christ on a daily basis because they do not value God's Word. But the blessed man values God's Word for what it does in his life. When folks do not value the Word of God as they should, they are spiritually dry or wilted when they could be lively. I think about so many folks who profess Christ that, boy, their lives could be so much better for the Lord if they would just draw near to the Lord. You know, the Lord invites us to draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Well, you know, if you're not as close to the Lord as you think you ought to be, well, you know, it's not on the Lord. If you'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Now, the droughts and the dry seasons of life never seem to affect the blessed believer who has been planted on purpose by the river, and therefore he is connected to that unfailing source of life and strength. Because there are going to be some droughts and dry seasons that come, aren't they? I mean, they just will. But they're not. They won't affect that life that's been planted on purpose by the rivers of water. Fourth thing we see here, we see the blessed man's productivity. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. The blessed believer is a blessing to those around him because his life bears fruit that is plentiful. In fact, he may never know until he gets to heaven just who all has fed off of and been blessed by his life as being a blessed believer. Have you ever been blessed by somebody just being in their presence, being around them because so much of God was on them? That's the kind of person we're talking about here. We see that the blessed man's productivity. We see the blessed man's predictability. It bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Listen, just as the seasons of a fruit-bearing tree are from the Lord, so also are the seasons of fruit-bearing of a blessed believer. As believers, we're not to worry about the fruit. That's the Father's business. When everything else is as it should be, then the fruit will come in its season. Look at John chapter 15. Of course, it's talking about vine, the vine and the branches, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking just prior to going to Calvary. In fact, this was the night that he was going to be arrested that he is teaching this. And he says there in John chapter 15, verse number 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. What a blessing, amen, to abide in the Lord and see him make your life fruitful. We see the sixth thing here. We see the blessed man's perpetuity. His leaf also shall not wither. The blessed believer, I like to liken him to an evergreen tree. I grew up in the South with the pine trees, the evergreen trees. It's a lot different than being up north. I spent some time up in Indiana. Not a whole lot of pine trees up there. You got a lot of trees that they do have some evergreen, but most of what they have, the leaves are going to come off. It looks kind of dead during the winter, if you know what I mean. But, the blessed believer is like an evergreen. He is consistently showing outside the life that is on the inside, Christ's life. And what a blessing that is. You know, our lives should be lives of consistency. You've probably been around some folks that were up and down, you know. They'd be on fire going, and then all of a sudden so where'd they go? Where are they at? You know, and then they'll reappear, and they're going, and then they disappear again. You know, consistency the Lord loves, and that consistency comes as we stay close to the Lord. As believers, we're called on to be stable, faithful, and dependable people. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15:58 says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. The blessed believer is consistent. the storms of life are unable to knock him off course as others, because his life is rooted in Christ. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2, as the Apostle Paul talked about the folks that were in the Colossian church, he was concerned that something would knock them away from their steadfastness that they seemed to have already had in their life. Notice verse number 5 here. He says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And then he encourages them here. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." And here it is, rooted. Amen. We're talking about being rooted in the Lord. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And he goes on to warn them, "But beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And that's those things in verse number 1, where he says, don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. We need to have lives that are consistent. I thank the Lord for the consistent people that he put in my life, and that I kept my eyes on the consistent people rather than those that were inconsistent. You know, a lot of people get their eyes on somebody that's inconsistent. Maybe they're going really blazes for the Lord, and all of a sudden they quit the ministry. They're out, and they see them gone, and they say, "Well, I guess there ain't anything to it," and they quit too. That's not any way to be. That's not what the way to be is, to look at those that are consistent and have those things that they have in their life, in your life, so that you can be consistent too. Amen. I thank God for the consistent people that he's put in my life over the years. Then we see, last of all here, we see the blessed man's prosperity. "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This reminds me of Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Remember in the book of Joshua, you got Moses has died, and Joshua's probably, his knees are knocking a little bit. I mean, he was a good man that had a lot of courage, but that was when Moses was alive. Amen. Now it was on him, the children of Israel. He was going to have to lead them into the promised land. And you kind of get that maybe there was a little bit of apprehension on his part, because he was consistently encouraged to be strong and of good courage. Amen. In fact, look at verse number 5, Joshua 1 and verse number 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people that shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And here it is, verse 8. "This book of the law," the word of God, the portion that they had back during that time, "but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein." Hey, those are the same words that we see over in Psalm 1, meditating in the word. "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." There's the application. You don't just read the word, meditate on the word, memorize the word just for the purposes of doing that. You do it for the purposes that you may observe to do, that you are going to carry it out. Because here's where the success comes from. Look at verse 8 again. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." When we see the end of Joshua's life, We see him still faithful, don't we? He's still faithful to what the Lord had called him to do. And even he was calling out the people. They were not what they ought to be. But he said, you know, y'all know that you can't point any finger at me. I've done what I should do. Listen, there's going to be coming storms at some time in your life that try to uproot you. But be like a Joshua. See, the blessed believer will remain planted in the place of blessing with the Lord until those storms are over. There were some storms that Joshua faced. I imagine when they went down to conquer Ai and they got whipped. I imagine he might have had a few thoughts about, how did I get here? What happened? Well, he learned real quick his problem, that was he didn't take it to the Lord. If he had talked to the Lord before taking and going on that venture to Ai, having the folks go down there, the Lord would let him know, hey, you're going to fail when you go because there's sin in the camp. But he didn't do it, but he learned a lesson. And so praise the Lord for the lessons that we learn. You know, the storms that do come our way actually strengthen us. You ever notice trees out by the coast they've endured many storms, but they're still there? You know, they may look like, the wind looks like it sure affected that, but it didn't affect it to uproot it. You know, it's still there. And praise the Lord, it just reminds me of this that we're talking about tonight. Now, let me ask you tonight in a closing, do you possess the characteristics of the blessed believer? Is your delight the Lord's word? Is that what you meditate on? That word blessed in verse number 1 actually means, oh, how very happy. Or happy, happy. Okay? You ever seen somebody that was happy, happy? Man, we just wouldn't have put on. They had a good dose of being happy. Well, oh, how very happy is what that word means. And I hope you're happy in Jesus tonight. I hope that you have intentionally planted your life in the place of the Lord's blessing and can see and are encouraged about your walk with the Lord and how it's prospering your life. You see, it's possible to be successful for the Lord and know it without being self-righteous. You know, we don't want to get to the point where we're self-righteous, but hey, look, recognize the blessings of the Lord. Say, you know, I wouldn't be like this if my life wasn't close to the Lord and wasn't close to the book. But if you, tonight, if you see yourself lacking in some of these areas we talked about, then Jesus stands ready he's ready, willing, and able to help you make those things right once again. And so let's take whatever steps are necessary to see that our lives are blessed and therefore glorifying to God. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to be taking a look at the ungodly. I mean, that's, it says there in verse number 4, the ungodly are not so. And we're going to see some things about the ungodly as we close out our study on Psalm 1. And I trust you can be with us. But that's our Bible study for this evening. Let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs that are on the list. And we'll be dismissed with this prayer.